What the Health with George Bertineau on FUBAR Radio.
Good morning and welcome to What the Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. I'm an online health and fitness expert. I have a BSc in sports rehabilitation and I'm a former head of medical and performance in professional football. However, I've been a fitness and health expert for over a decade and I've been helping real people feel better and move smarter. If you are sick of dodgy health advice online, you're in the right place because every week I help you cut through the chaos and confusion of internet nonsense and health hype, bringing clarity, evidence and a whole lot of energy. I'll be joined by expert guests as we dissect trends, bust myths and guide you towards real lasting results the healthy way. Now, today I'm going to be joined by TJ Power, lead neuroscientist and founder of The Dose Lab, and also Alice Dartnell, time management coach. We also will be joined by Sophie Medlin, who is director of City Dietitians and chair of the British Dietetic Association for London. Now, we're going to be starting with exercise of the week, though. So, press-ups. An exercise that we are taught from a very young age and also something that we learn from a very young age. Now, I actually think they can be super, super incredible for all levels of fitness due to the variability and the amount that you can kind of change. So you can make it as simple as doing a press up on the wall, on the floor, with your knees or on a box. So on a box, what you are looking to do is you are looking to get a deeper stretch, which will activate the pecs a lot better, as there's a lot of research to back that stretching the muscle is a very, very important way of reaching maximal hypertrophy. So simple, 3 sets of 10, 3 sets of 12, 3 sets of max is a really good way of kind of stimulating and activating the muscle. Sophie, good morning. Welcome.
Good morning. Sorry to keep you waiting. I was stuck in clinic with a patient.
No, that's absolutely fine. How are you today? You well?
I'm really well. How are you?
Good. Thank you very much for asking. Right, let's jump straight into it, okay? First of all, what is skinny talk?
Listen, I'm a bit too Gen Z for this, but in general, skinny talk is a hashtag that's used on the app called TikTok, which people are following, and then they can get the idea is that they get tips and ideas about how to be skinnier. And it can also include things what we would consider as healthcare professionals to be like pro-anorexic content. So content that encourages people to be far thinner than is healthy for them. And that can go, you know, lots and lots of women, especially with the pressures of social media, and men arguably, can feel this pressure to be a lot thinner than actually is healthy for them. So it's sort of encouraging maybe some positive behaviours, but largely a lot of negative behaviours.
Well, I mean, as a healthcare professional myself, I see a lot on, obviously, muscle mass growth at the moment and about actually being strong and fit and more athletic or in less pain. So for me, I obviously don't know about skinny talk, but for me, skinny is the old school method. It's about being very slender, very, very small, but now we kind of want to build muscle tissue. Anyway, so TikTok has recently taken steps to ban certain skinny talk content. What was your initial reaction to the ban, and do you think it is the right move?
So my initial reaction is relief. What I hear from patients of mine and people who work more closely with the eating disorders community, for example, is that these kinds of hashtags, this kind of content is hugely triggering for patients. Patients of mine who've got a complex relationship with food, perhaps they have had a past eating disorder, are very fixated by things like what I eat in a day content from very slim influencers, for example. So any moves to try and limit that kind of content is really important. And I also noticed that a colleague of mine, a friend of mine, had posted that one of her clients had said they somehow came across some skinny talk content, and then because they interacted with that video, ended up in a real wormhole with TikTok, where it's showing more and more and more of that type of content, which can then trigger more self-criticism, more comparison of your body to somebody else's body, and it can become a real spiral for people. So my feeling is it's really positive that this has happened. I was really relieved that it had happened, and I really hope that it's the start of social media companies taking more responsibility for how much of body image issues and eating disorders they've triggered through the sorts of content that's promoted.
Well, you obviously say about how it can be quite damaging. So do you feel that it affects people's mental and physical health, you know, amongst younger users, poor education? Because the younger generation, you know, they're not really absorbing things how we used to, or how, you know, different age groups used to. It's all via social media now. So do you feel that that is, you know, that is damaging to mental and physical health?
Absolutely. Yeah. So what we're seeing is the research tells us that 80 to 90% of young people get their information on diet and health through social media. What we also know to be true is that 90% of nutrition information shared on social media is false. It's not It's not scientifically accurate, right? So we've got this perfect storm there. During the pandemic, we saw this huge increase in social media usage, especially among young people, and a huge rise in eating disorders among young people and body image, complex body image problems. And so Facebook and Meta specifically, know that particularly Instagram, but now TikTok, I'm sure, has taken over as well, triggers body dysmorphia, body image problems in young people, has even been implicated in suicides, and is regularly cited in people's reasons for why they might commit suicide, but they're not doing or weren't doing anything about it. And I hope that with a big platform like TikTok that sort of sits separate to Meta taking some action on this, perhaps Meta will take it a bit more seriously and think about what they could do through Instagram to manage the damage they know that they're causing.
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I've noticed recently is a lot of this information is coming from non-qualified individuals who have YouTube page, who are influencers, who have been on TV. You know, yes, I went on TV and that's kind of how I got my platform, but I have a degree, I have a PT qualification, I've coached people for years. It is so frustrating and tiring when people come to me and they're like, oh, you know, I want to use this or I want to do that because so-and-so does it. You will never look like that individual because your genetics are not the same as that individual. And this is the problem. We need social media companies to, and it will be pretty hard to regulate and near on impossible, but to hone down on individuals that aren't qualified because they're giving advice and people are ingesting it. And like you said, 90% of it is highly inaccurate.
Yeah. For about 10 years ago, I started trying to do this campaign, which would be more successful now I've got a bigger following, which was about trying to have a different coloured tick for qualified healthcare professionals. So saying like, you know, everyone can have a blue tick now, anyone can.
Yes.
Let's try and think about having one that actually shows that someone has qualifications in what they're talking about.
I think that
sort of thing could be a way of making it a bit easier for people to differentiate. YouTube are doing some good stuff around that.
Yeah. I know X do it. I know they did different coloured ticks and whatnot, because it was like companies and then people and then people that are in the government. Anyway, we digress, but yeah, I agree. I do think it's a really important thing because it's tiring watching people getting hurt, damaged, coached, brainwashed by individuals that only know how to get a physique because of themselves, potentially a little bit of anabolics, who knows. But anyway, so we often hear about the negative impact of social media on body image and eating habits. Can you walk us through some of the common harmful effects that, you know, affect people with training, diet, and potentially overall relationships with food?
Yeah, you know, it's deep and it's complex. And I think we sometimes think about this only affecting young people, but actually I also see it affecting middle-aged women, children, people with families. Men now more so than ever, I'm seeing people coming into my clinics who have, for example, gone on a really extreme keto diet and now developed horrendous bowel problems because they've cut out loads of food from their diet. We are going to see horrendous consequences from the carnivore diet coming through.
Yes.
and how that's going to affect people and heart attack risk. Even things like that, you know, there was a trend from social media for people to use plant milk instead of cow's milk, right? That's a pure social media trend.
Wow.
And now that's taken over the world, and plant milk's probably more popular than dairy milk. But from a nutrition perspective, it's incredibly inferior and it's going to cause a huge wave of osteoporosis, no doubt, in that generation. So
indeed,
there are lots of things that we see coming through from social media. From a body image perspective, I think that's one of the most significant things that I see. Women and men wanting to appear like other people do on social media, when, as you say, it doesn't matter if you train exactly the same and eat exactly the same, you're never going to look like that person.
But comparison is the thief of joy.
A bit vulnerable to that thought that actually, or maybe if I do this, maybe if I do that, that's going to happen. And I think we're in a really difficult place now with the, this could be a whole other conversation, but with weight loss medications and injectables,
yes,
we're in a place now where people are aspiring to be thinner again, where previously it was strong, and that's going to create a whole other wave of body image issues.
But we have to think about it. Yeah, again, it is a completely different topic, but we have to think, people are only wanting to take weight loss injections because it's an easier and quicker option, right? A lot of people are stopping it and putting the weight back on twice as fast as they put it on because they're not picking up the habits. They're not actually, it stops the noise for a long period of time. And then there are people that are getting benefits afterwards that it has helped them and rejigged their brain, but it's the higher percentages that are going to get bigger, have more problems, have lost a load of muscle mass, which then means their BMR is low, which then means that they can't have as much food. And, you know, it's a vicious cycle. But anyway, like you said, that is a different topic for another day. What strategies or tools do you recommend for people that who want to protect themselves from unrealistic or harmful fitness and diet content?
One of the first things I would say to people is to unfollow anybody who you notice you're comparing your body to. So that could be a dietitian, it could be someone who's qualified, it could be, you know, anyone. But if you notice that you're perhaps looking at them thinking, oh, I wish I was as slim as, or I wish I looked like that, or I wish my muscles were as big as theirs, unfollow that person, mute them. If it's a family friend or you know, someone that you can't unfollow because it would be socially difficult, then just mute their content, because anyone who is making you feel that feeling of comparison is causing you harm and is causing problems for you. And it's so ingrained in society, it's so habitual for people who are qualified, people who aren't qualified, to share pictures of themselves not wearing many clothes and posing in particular ways. All of those things could be edited. It could be, you know, they're posing in a particular way. If you held your body like that, you'd look a bit more like that too. But it's trying to stop that comparison and stop that noise. And for some people, that might even be deleting social media apps for a period of time. And for some people, that can feel really hard. But actually, if you can get into it, it can make a big difference and really get you into a place where you feel more centered in yourself and less comparison, which is the key.
Yeah, well, I always say comparison is the thief of all joy, and that's the dangerous thing with social media. You know, I think the video that stays firmly lodged in my head is a guy lifting some dumbbells, and he went, oh, that's not heavy. But the girl helping him goes, yeah, it is. Like, to me, that's heavy. So, you know, we compare ourselves to others. But on the flip side, is there a positive role that platforms like TikTok and Instagram can play when it comes to health and fitness, nutrition, education?
One of the things I've said for a long time is that at the beginning of my career, bear in mind I've been a dietitian for nearly 20 years, at the beginning of my career, you couldn't get anybody to eat avocados or kale in this country, right? Nobody wanted them. And then actually, yeah, social media influencers have made them look really, really enticing. And so people eat them habitually now. And that's amazing. And I think as dietitians and as, you know, qualified healthcare professionals, we do need to look at the marketing and the way that influencers do what they do, because they're really successful at getting people to do things that they perhaps didn't want to do. Mm. And behavior change is hard. Sustained behavior change is really hard. So trying to use some of these tools to help people is really helpful, right? And we can use that. And I think obviously then social media has helped us as healthcare professionals and qualified people to connect with an audience and give people proper information. So there are benefits for sure. And I think there is a future where social media does have more benefit to people and less of the harm, with a bit more of this regulation that we're seeing coming in and with a bit more responsibility from the platforms themselves.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. I do. And I think that if we can get more regulation in place, or like you said, a different tick or a different way of making the individuals that actually are qualified shine through, then amazing. Right, Sophie, we are sadly out of time. I just want to thank you so much for your time. Yeah. Where can people find you online? Do you have a website, Instagram?
Yeah, my business is City Dietitian, so it's citydietitians.co.uk. We've got a team of amazing dietitians. I'm all over social media at Sophie Dietitian. You can find me there, and obviously I'm on LinkedIn and other boring places too.
Well, thank you so much for your time. You have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you soon.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Sophie. Bye-bye. Right, guys, coming up after this short break, I'll be joined by TJ Power, lead neuroscientist and founder of the Dose Lab.
FUBAR Radio.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
The lovely Matt Phipps.
Hello. The thing that surprised me most was how much joy I took in being, like, making people feel really uncomfortable. It's so good.
Your mum jokes change completely.
My friend the other day, she was like, how tall is your mum? And I was like, oh, she's 6 feet under. Yeah, they did not know what to do with that. Yeah. And then you let it hang in the air.
Yeah.
You're listening to FUBAR Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app. Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google App Stores. Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today. Get it today.
Some companies try to reel people in by promising quick cash if you pay them to claim work expenses. But think twice before taking the bait, because they might just want to land a commission, and it turns out you aren't eligible to claim anything. You'll have to pay HMRC back, and it's unlikely the company will refund any fees. So don't get caught out. Check if you're eligible and make a claim with HMRC for free online. Just search Don't Get Caught Out.
One in five people in the UK are disabled, and it's not always visible. So if we've made ourselves at home in priority spaces on the bus or train, surrounded by our shopping bags or bikes, we could be making it harder for the people who need that space more than us. So let's not forget about the people we share our journeys with, and keep priority spaces clear for others. Remember, it's everyone's journey.
Politics Uncensored.
We kind of act like COVID didn't happen. Well, do you think it's had a lasting impact, at least on that young generation that experienced it?
The legacy of it in schools, you see the legacy of it in people's mental health. We're seeing the legacy of it even in public services, even in hotels, hospitality. Everything was stripped back to the bone, and the UK did not have the resilience to recover. So I think we are still definitely living in a post-COVID society where nothing really works as well as it did. If you think things were damaged by Brexit, things were double damaged by COVID.
Pulse of the Nation with Andrew White on FUBAR Radio.
Danny Harmer, hello.
Thank you, what an introduction.
I heard in an interview, this may no longer be the case, but in 2020 you said you'd never actually read the original Tracy Beaker.
I've still never read it, and I'm gonna go down with this ship, and quite frankly I shall never read it. I've got this far in life. And do you know what? I think it's kind of, in a weird way, I think it helped me get the part, because I had no idea of this character apart from the character that I made her.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with George. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, George Bertineau. This week I am joined by TJ Power, lead neuroscientist and founder of the Dose Lab, who is also going to be speaking at Wellnergy this weekend. TJ, good morning, how are you?
I'm great, mate, how are you doing?
I'm good, thank you very much for asking. How's your morning been?
Pretty good, thanks. Been making some content and writing some research about brain rot, which has been a new topic I'm exploring.
Nice, interesting stuff. We actually spoke to someone a couple of weeks or months ago about brain rot, but we're here to talk with you, obviously, about the Dose Lab. So, first of all, can you start by explaining what the Dose Lab is?
Yeah, so it's a research lab that I run with a great team of people that investigates how our four primary brain chemicals operate. We have dopamine, oxytocin, serotonin, and endorphins. Each of these chemicals is having a massive impact on human behavior. We're helping people identify the actions that could support rebalancing these chemicals in the modern world.
Okay, nice. And a lot of your work focuses on how the feel-good hormones like, you know, dopamine and oxytocin affect your mental and physical health. What are the key things that you've discovered?
What we're really rapidly discovering is that the phone is right at the core of the challenges that are occurring with these brain chemicals. Our phone is incredibly what's called dopaminergic. It's very addictive. And that creates challenges with our dopamine pathway. It seems to be exhausting our dopamine system, which can put people into a state where they can't really be bothered to do anything and can't focus on things. It's this struggle that I've navigated myself with my own phone addiction. And then as a result of our almost obsession with dopamine in the phone, it's resulting in us sacrificing some of the behaviors that could support our oxytocin and our serotonin and our endorphins. A very simple example of that is if you were lying in bed with your partner and you're both scrolling your phones instead of talking and cuddling or being intimate together, in that moment you're choosing dopamine over oxytocin, which is tricky for our brain chemistry.
Okay, so interesting, because I often go on about this a lot. Now, allegedly, you can maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but giving a hug to a loved one is supposedly meant to aid in recovery, and it's meant to be the equivalent to a 30-minute sports massage. Have you heard anything on that? Have you done any research on that? Have you seen anything on that?
Yeah, definitely. In my book, we go deep into this world and the whole physical touch aspect of oxytocin. Right at the core of us as human beings, when we enter the world, we experience a massive amount of physical touch from breastfeeding and love from our caregivers, moms and dads. And whenever our body is in a state of distress and our nervous system is worried as a young little baby, physical touch is what calms our nervous system and slows our heart rate and leads to this increase in oxytocin. So it's very, very restorative physically connecting with a human, particularly hugging someone that you love.
Okay, thank you. And so are there some things you can do to boost your feel-good hormones naturally?
Definitely. Is there a specific chemical you want to explore, or do you want to do all four of them and go through them?
Let's do all four and go through them all, if possible.
Yeah, definitely. So one of the best things in the world for our dopamine is what's called flow state. It's where we're really deeply immersed in a task. We're really focused on something. You see this in high-performing athletes, in musicians, you see it in artists, and all of us as humans have a specific activity that might get us into flow state. It might be art, music, sport, cleaning, creating. It can be anything. What we often do with people is we do this idea with them called finding your flow state using your feed. And what I mean by that is many of us in the modern world, rather than actually doing our flow state nowadays, we're actually watching other people engage in our flow state on our social media feeds. Mm. And if you carefully observe your feed, the most frequently reoccurring content might be art, or it might be music, or it might be singing or dance. And the reason you might like watching those things is because you would actually enjoy doing them too. And a really good thing for our dopamine is to each day think about what we're watching on social media and see if there's something we could actually do in real life instead of just consuming it.
Okay. Nice. Okay. So flow state is basically, like you said, what we're watching and if it's something that we can do. So is that why my feed is obsessed with fitness and health?
Yeah, so that would be your flow state, maybe like running or calisthenics, whatever your fitness content is. Maybe that's your flow state. And for others, it might be nature stuff. People love watching cleaning houses, like people love watching houses get really organized. It goes very viral on social media. The reason your brain likes watching it is because it would actually love to do it. And if social media just disappeared and we had no content to watch anymore, we'd all think, well, I'm freaking bored, let's find something to do. And you'd naturally just do these things. But it's really tricky in the modern world because we're just consuming, and consuming is what wears out the dopamine. Creating is what builds it.
Okay. Right, so basically we've got to, and any of the listeners, we need to start whatever we've got coming up on our feeds, we need to start doing and actioning.
And it's great with young people as well. Like, I train thousands of young people every week in schools, and lots of them think, I don't know what my flow state is. I don't really have anything that I like doing. But if you look at the feed, there might be something in there that you could try out. And it's really important to consider. Like, for me, I love watching like really aesthetic videos of people hiking and doing climbing mountains and sunrises and sunsets. I find those sort of things quite nice on Instagram. And I had this realization a few years ago, like, I never actually put myself in that situation. I'm just watching people do it.
Yeah.
And it's a good tweak to try and make.
Okay. We hear a lot about phone addiction and how bad it is for our health. Can you break down the neuroscience behind this?
Yeah, I can. So it's really useful to understand just how significant this dopamine chemical actually is. As a human being, to feel good, we have to do hard things. We have to work our jobs. We have to help our families. We have to cook food. We have to keep our homes clean. We have to exercise. We have to get ourselves to go to bed on time. It is effort to feel good as a human, and it has been effort for hundreds of thousands of years. Can I give you a little bit of the neuroscience on this, how this actually operates in the brain. I can help you try and visualize what this actually looks like.
Please do. Yeah, please do.
So you have this little area of your brain called your ventral tegmental area, your VTA. And you can imagine this as your little kind of dopamine factory. So a little ball in your brain, and it can manufacture what's called dopamine vesicles, like little bubbles. So a little ball in your brain, it can manufacture dopamine bubbles. You then have something called your nucleus accumbens, which is your reward center. And if you take the example of you doing your exercise, for example, say you enjoy your exercise. While you're exercising and putting in effort to an activity, what's basically happening is your dopamine factory is generating lots of these little bubbles to help motivate you. And then occasionally it's shipping these bubbles to that reward center in order to make you feel good while you're exercising. So you keep exercising. Mm. And by the end of the exercise, you get quite a lot into the reward center. You think, yes, I'm so happy I did that. When we're on social media and we're doom scrolling on our phones, for example, what's basically happening is our brain starts mass shipping these dopamine bubbles from the factory towards the reward center. But because you're not doing anything that's hard or effortful, you're not regenerating them. So suddenly, after a few hours of scrolling or 30 minutes of scrolling, your reward center is full of dopamine. It's like, yes, I've had this massive amount of pleasure. But your factory is completely empty, effectively, because you haven't been regenerating them. And lots of us can struggle with like a lack of discipline, a lack of effort, lack of motivation to do the hard things in life. And the phone is really creating that difficulty.
So you think we need to reevaluate our relationship with our phones?
I think it's the most important thing society needs to do. I think we've never seen a downturn in mental health quite like this. And the only thing that's changed in society is the phone. There's nothing else. We always had the alcohol, the sugar, the like sitting down sort of lifestyles has been a thing for a long time. The phone is the thing that has changed drastically. And when the screen time comes down, it's very surprising how much your mental health goes up.
So give us like two or three tips on what you would suggest for people with addictions to their phone, or maybe looking to get decreased screen time. Could you put your phone in phone jail? Because I know there are these like boxes that you can put your phones in with timers. Like, yeah, what would be your biggest kind of tips?
Yeah, so step one is you have to become aware of how much you're actually using it in the first place. And there are these screen time settings in all of our phones. You've got in Apple, it's called screen time. In Android, it's called digital well-being. And the most important first step is you add what's called a screen time widget to your home screen. To add a widget, there's like this, you just make your apps bubble around and there's a little button in the top left of your iPhone. You can add a widget. Uh-huh. The reason this is so essential is you have to be seeing on a regular basis what the number actually is in terms of your usage. Because unlike other dopamine addictions, say for example, alcohol, when you go out and you have some drinks, you have this little thing in your brain that clocks how many drinks you're having. You'll like go to the bathroom and you'll be like, oh, I think I've had like four pints or whatever.
I think I'm a bit drunk.
Eventually, obviously, sometimes you lose count, but most of the time you've got a good tracker. With the phones, part of the reason the addiction is so severe is we've got no eyes on how much usage is occurring. Mm. And with the members that we have with Indos, that we really get their screen times down. Step one is just them knowing how much usage they've got.
Okay.
The next most important thing is all about when you open your eyes in the morning. If, for example, we were to run an experiment for the next 7 days, I told you to wake up and drink two glasses of red wine as soon as you open your eyes, and we were to observe your addiction to the red wine, it would be monumental how hooked you'd be on red wine within a week. And with the phone, we're seeing it as different to alcohol when in reality it's the same. If you put people in fMRI scanners, brain scanners, and they drink alcohol or they scroll phones, it's exactly the same what happens in the brain. It's very, very addictive. And if we wake up and our brain immediately gets the phone, it's priming it to be the source of dopamine that we look for throughout the day. So slightly delaying that is very important.
By maybe 5-10 minutes?
Yeah, longer. I would say a really good rule in your head would be you get ready before you go on your phone. So that can be as quick as you can get ready. Like if you can go to the bathroom, brush your teeth, splash some cold water on your face, and then go on your phone. If that's your getting ready, you could have your shower and make your bed if you wanted to get it a little bit further. But if you start tomorrow morning and you're just like, just tomorrow morning, I'm going to click the alarm off before I go into this phone. I'm going to go brush my teeth and splash cold water on my face. Even that shift would be significant for the
addiction. I'm going to do it. Cool. Yeah, right out there.
Nice one. Love it.
So those two are great. Perfect. Thank you so much. Right, moving on to Wellnergy. So you are headlining at Wellnergy this year?
That's what I hear, yeah.
Yeah, you are. What should people expect from you?
They should expect to see the clearest explanation they've ever seen in their life as to why humans are struggling in the modern world, and to be given a very, very clear game plan as to how to get yourself feeling extremely happy, feeling extremely good. We've conceptualized this whole new idea called Dopamine Land, which we define as kind of the endless chase for digital stimulation, where you feel like this constant pull for technology. Many of us are feeling pretty overwhelmed and exhausted as a result of living in Dopamine Land. And I'm effectively in that talk going to tell people how to escape.
Okay, amazing. And you're there both days, right? Or just the one?
I'm there on Friday is my event.
Okay, Friday's your event. Well, I mean, I'm going as well, so I'll be looking forward to it.
Cool, man.
Festival
season. Hopefully you'll have done a couple of days without going on your phone when you wake up by the time you get there.
I mean, I'm going to try exactly what you've said. I always am quite aware of my screen time. It's one thing that I say to my clients or people that are interested in coaching when they're like, oh, I don't have time. And I'm like, I always say, what's your screen time? And I say, tell me what your screen time is. And then when they don't want to say it. And when it's like 10, 9... you know, 11, whatever, however many hours, I'm just like, you don't have time, but you spend over however much of a percent of your day is on your phone. So I think you have time. Festival season is right around the corner and comes with a bit of an emotional roller coaster for people. Any top tips for dealing with this?
To deal with emotions in general just going up and down.
Yeah, just like that emotional roller coaster of, you know, potentially that high of arriving and that festival, you get that buzz. Obviously, most festivals there's alcohol involved or whatnot. And then, you know, potentially that crash, how you feel afterwards. So that kind of roller coaster of emotions.
Yeah, so of course with the alcohol, being mindful of your quantity of consumption is great. That will create some challenges, but I appreciate people want to have their fun at a festival. I would say if you are drinking lots, really being conscious of how many good quality nutrients you get into your body throughout the festival is a good idea. So I know you may want to have like the burgers and chips or the festival stuff, but if you can, keep really hydrated, make sure you consume lots of fruit. The reason fruit is so good is it helps stabilize our serotonin level in our gut, which often can get quite disrupted when we party pretty hard. So if you can get lots of fruit and water into your gut, it's going to stabilize your serotonin and keep your mood a bit more consistent. And then the biggest thing is when you get home from these festivals, you need to make sure you get a ton of real rest. And real rest is not scrolling on the sofa, because unfortunately that's just more dopamine like the festival. But real rest is just like napping, going to sleep nice and early, being really disciplined with getting some really good early nights. Like if you came back from the festival and you were like, I'm not going to spend all evening on my phone, I'm just going to go to bed at like 8:30 p.m., something really, really early, and try and get a really big, deep sleep. Wake up in the morning, get some sunlight before you go on social media that next morning, try and recalibrate. So I'd say the nutrients, the sunlight, and the deep rest off of technology would be the best.
Amazing advice. Thank you so much. And TJ, we're actually out of time. So cool. I just want to thank you for your time. Where can people find you on social media? Do you have a website? And please mention your book, The Dose Effect.
Yeah, so I'm at TJ Power on Instagram. That's my main channel where I can teach you all about this kind of stuff. My website is tjpower.co.uk if you're interested in learning more about how all this works. And my new book's called The Dose Effect. It takes you through the 20 actions that are the most scientifically backed to boost your brain chemistry. We learn about 5 for dopamine, then oxytocin, then serotonin, then endorphins. It's pretty fun. It's super easy to read. Even if you don't read regularly, you'll absolutely love this book.
Amazing. Thank you so much for your time. One thing before you go, we actually train at the same gym. So maybe I'll see you at the gym. Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah, I just thought I had to mention it. So anyway, I will leave you to have a great day. Enjoy the festival. I will probably see you there. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thanks so much for having me on, man. Good luck with that phone challenge.
Thank you. I'll be fine. Thank you. Cheers. Bye-bye. Right, guys. Coming up after this, I'll be joined by Alice Dartnell, time management coach.
FUBAR Radio.
That Money Show with Gabriel Nussbaum on FUBAR Radio.
You might then see friends, family that require a little bit of support, financial advice. How do you go about sharing that advice, sharing that support without being condescending?
A practical tip that everyone can do that is low friction, send them financial content that you like. If you have a favorite content creator, if you see an article that you like, send them the video and just ask them, what do you think? And then that can begin a conversation around it.
Radio. Download our app now to listen to your favourite shows, such as Access All Areas, Politics Uncensored, and The Dating Show. You can also download and catch up on previous episodes of all FUBAR shows, including our box sets. Plus, you can get in touch directly from within the app.
Just search for FUBAR Radio on the Apple and Google app stores.
Yay! The FUBAR Radio app. Get it today.
Get it today.
When it comes to heart attacks, you might be surprised to hear the symptoms don't always feel severe. You could experience a squeezing across the chest, a feeling of unease, a sense something's not quite right. Don't be tempted to dismiss the signs and wait to see what happens. The faster you seek medical help, the better your chances. It's never too early to call 999 and describe your symptoms. Your NHS is here for you.
It was calm on the beach, so I took my little girl out on the water. Then we hit the wind and it blew us out to sea, faster than we could paddle back. And we learned our lesson from these guys, the crew who got us home. Thank you.
Respect the water and watch out for the winds. In an emergency, call 999 and ask for the Coast Guard.
Couple goals with Sophie Kasai and Jordan Brooke.
When is too early to say I love you? Soph said it the night we met.
Yeah. I did. Right, okay, right, let's just clear this up, right? When I said I love you, I remember I said it in the car.
In the cab, yeah.
In the cab, and I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Yeah, well, that was the day I made you my girlfriend, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I said, I love you, and you were like, I love you too. And I was like, I love you, 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 I love you so much, I love you so much, oh my God, I love you.
Death, a funny business on FUBAR Radio with Becky Briggs and Natasha Spencer-Levy.
We store so much of our trauma and our energy in our body. I am just incredibly, incredibly tired of keeping this trauma locked inside my body. And so all I needed to do is release it. You know, it's like going on a bender and drinking too much booze and you throw it up because you just need to get that out of your system because it's gonna catch up with you at some point if you don't.
Follow us at What The Health Show for more with Georges. This is What The Health.
This is What The Health on FUBAR Radio with me, Georges Bertineau. Joining me now is Alice Dartnell, time management coach. Alice, good morning. How are you?
Morning. I'm good. I'm pumped to be here. Thanks for having me.
No, thank you so much for joining us. It's an absolute pleasure having you. Right, let's jump straight into this, okay? Finding time for fitness whilst juggling work, family and life can feel impossible for many people. In your experience, what are the biggest challenges people face when trying to balance a healthy lifestyle with a busy schedule?
Oh my God, right. This, for me, I'm talking from personal experience here, but also professional experience of like working with clients. I think one of the biggest struggles that we have is just trying to do things perfect. Like, we're trying to do everything exactly to the T, to what the book says, whatever the latest fad is, because we're trying to do it perfect. And we hear about, like, having consistency, you know, we've got to do something every single day. And then we try to have, like, this perfect routine, which doesn't work because we are so busy. And I think that's probably, like, the biggest downfall that we make when we are trying to be healthy or we're trying to implement something new into our healthy kickstart, is that we're trying to create this routine, we're trying to do it perfectly, and that perfectionism gets in our way. I think that's probably the biggest blocker. So actually, probably isn't actually about time. It could actually be more about mindset.
Okay. So, yeah, I mean, I personally, you're the expert in this, but I would definitely agree with you on that. I feel that my biggest piece of advice to people is just do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I've definitely been in that camp where I'm like, oh my God, I've got to do it perfectly. And, you know, I've got to go to the gym and do an hour's workout. Yeah. But in reality, sometimes you haven't got an hour, right? You know, you've got half an hour or even 20 minutes. But rather than going, do you know what, I'll just do 20 minutes. And 20 minutes is better than nothing. We go, well, I can't do the whole hour. So what's the point? I'll give up. I'll do it tomorrow.
Exactly.
Tomorrow never comes.
Well, tomorrow. Just today is a great start. Doesn't matter if it's 8 o'clock at night. Why don't you try and just do something?
Yeah, just do 10 minutes. Yeah, so I think sometimes that's probably like the biggest blocker.
Yeah, okay. And so you work with lots of clients on building better time habits. What are some of the most common bad habits people fall into that derail their health and productivity goals?
Oh my God, so many bad habits that we can get into. I think a bad habit that we've got for, you know, our time and like getting into our health probably does stem from what we just said about that kind of perfectionism, and then it gets us into that all or nothing mindset, you know, that kind of, oh well, I've had one biscuit, so sod it, I might as well have the whole packet. You know, we've all been there.
Yeah,
but that can really derail us because you know, again, we've got that perfectionism, we've got that all or nothing thinking, and actually that can really destroy our intentions around creating a good habit and creating good time management practices and habits around creating a healthy lifestyle. So I would always say to people, like, just look for the little tweaks that you can do. You know, you don't have to go from zero to hero straight away. Just look for those little tweaks that you can make. So, you know, are you currently having 4 double espressos by 9 a.m? I mean, maybe we can cut that back to 3, 2, you know, that kind of thing. You don't have to go cold turkey and go, right, that's it, I'm just on the peppermint tea for life. Like, you know, you can just make those little incremental changes. You know, are you getting the tube to work? Can you get off the stop earlier? You know, just factor in that extra 2 minutes. Can you get off, you know, the bus or whatever a little bit earlier, just to get a few more extra steps in? So I think when we come to look at our habits and our time management habits around creating a healthy lifestyle, it is just about looking at those little tiny things that we can do, we can tweak. You know, it doesn't have to be, oh, I've never exercised in my life, but now I'm going to go down the gym 4 times a week. So just making those little incremental changes is going to help. And also a big thing is to plan it in. A lot of the times we say, yeah, well, I'm going to get healthy, I'm going to go to the gym, I'm going to start doing more steps, I'm going to start meal prepping. Yeah, great. When? Just so busy. You know, you haven't even thought about how you're going to actually fit it in. You know, when are you going to do the meal prep? When are you going to get those steps in? So one of the things I always say to people is you have to diarize it. If it's important to you, you've got to get it in the diary.
It's funny you say that because I actually saw something recently is you should set it out as a meeting because you wouldn't cancel on a work meeting. So why would you cancel on a meeting for yourself, right?
Oh God, yes.
And that's, everyone's guilty of it. You know, it's not a priority. I don't make time for this. I can't make time for this. I actually think that more people prioritize their work when actually, you know, if you didn't do the work that night and you just got up a little bit early the next day and actually reset, you'd give more of yourself. Stop working 7 days a week and work 5 or 6, but give yourself a full day of rest because you'll get a better version of yourself and you'll be better with your time.
Yeah. Oh my God. Absolutely. So one of the things that I'm really big on talking about is that time management actually isn't just about managing your time, but it's more importantly managing your energy. So you might have the time, but you might not have the energy, but also how do we capitalize and maximize that time? Your energy. And exactly what you've just said, you know, it's not just the time that you've got, but it's the energy that you've got as well. So sometimes, you know what, get an early night, tackle it with a fresh set of eyes in the morning, you know, that kind of thing. And again, you know, if you're like pushing yourself to do a workout, you know, go to the gym and lift weight because that's like the right thing to do to be healthy, whereas actually you're blooming knackered and all you really need to do is have an early night, a good night's sleep, you know, maybe a bit of yin yoga instead. That actually would be better for your health and for your energy. So it's not actually just about time.
No, I totally agree. And there's a growing trend on social media of influencers encouraging people to wake up at like 4 a.m. to win the day. What are your thoughts on that? And is it really the key to success or is it just unrealistic online ideologies?
I feel like my gasp might have just given away what my true thoughts on that are, to be honest. But no, to be honest, everyone's different. So I'm going to caveat that first. Everyone's different. Personally, for me, I am not in the camp of hustle, grind, wake up at 4 a.m., 5 a.m. club, you know. I've done that. I tried it. It contributed to my burnout, which is now why I'm like, hang on a minute. Everybody's different. Like, everyone's got a different biological rhythm. It's called a chronotype. Everyone's got a different chronotype. So, you know, if you're a morning person, which if you are, I'm so jealous. If you're a morning person and, you know, you're up at the crack of dawn and you're like, yeah, I feel so fine. I'm going to go to the gym. And I'm like, great, do that. But if you're not, don't force it.
Exactly.
Because all you're doing is like forcing yourself against your natural rhythms and that against your natural energy and time preferences. You're probably going to cause yourself more damage or burnout, like I did in my case. So, yeah, I think I've noticed that growing trend for sure. And it does make me go a bit, oh, no. It works if it works for you, and if it doesn't, and then you feel bad because you didn't get up at 5 a.m. and then you're now trying to shoehorn your life into that, it's not going to work. Yeah, don't do it. Everyone's rhythm and life is different.
Yeah, and I said this earlier, actually, comparison is the thief of all joy. I think so many people are using social media and they're going, oh, look, so-and-so's up at 3 o'clock working and getting in his ice bath, and then he's going to the gym. I should do that. No, you shouldn't, because if it doesn't come naturally or considerably easy, then it's not natural to you and you need to figure out a way of making it fit your life and make it work around you. Again, yeah, we don't get growth if everything's easy, but also it can be an element of easy to a certain regard, right?
Yeah. I think it's about finding your flow, isn't it? And making it work for you rather than going, right, well, the guru's on TikTok, so I've got to get up at 5 a.m.
The unqualified
smoothie
gurus.
That's what I've got to do.
Yes. Right. So from your perspective, what does a truly healthy time managed lifestyle look like? Is it about strict routines? Is it about flexibility? What is it about for you?
Oh, do you know what? I might be a little bit controversial here, but I actually wholeheartedly hate a routine. I used to think that I liked a routine and was like, oh, you know, look at me, my life is routined. And like, I used to be great at time management and it was a strict routine. It was, you know, the same thing in the morning, you know, your miracle morning, get up at 5 a.m., yeah, that kind of thing. And to be honest, it contributed to my burnout. So even though I was really good at time management, you know, color-coded diary, I was planning ahead, never late, always making deadlines, you know, that kind of thing. But it was so rigid and it was so routine, there was no flexibility. And also the problem is if something goes a little bit skew-iff, you know, maybe it's some people coming to visit or, I don't know, you've got a week off work or whatever. So if something just slightly disrupts that routine,
yeah,
it completely goes out the window. And then you go,
that's balance.
And then you go, oh, sod it. Oh, well, you know, all or nothing mindset kicks in and I'll just start again Monday. Or, you know, you're just constantly trying to create this magic routine that doesn't exist.
Mm.
And to be honest, I've never come across a client that can do the same thing at the same time on the same day every week. Like, a routine, I think, just doesn't exist in the modern day. So I always say, actually, it's not about routine, but about creating structure. So you create almost like a mini routine every single day or every single week, and you structure it according to what your time and energy needs are for that moment.
Nice. I like that. Yeah, I mean, I'd probably say I live pretty much like that. Structure is important. Having a framework.
Yes, that's exactly that, isn't it? It's like a framework, and you can fit what you need into that framework,
yes,
rather than this rigid routine, which has got no flexibility, and just broids that all-or-nothing mindset.
Yeah, because, you know, like you said, things overrun, people come visit, you do things that aren't in your strict routine, and then all of a sudden you're falling over, you're off balance, and it's Thursday and you say, I'll start Monday, and you're just like, wow, we'll just have half a week of absolute chaos then. What are your top time management mistakes you see people make when they're trying to fit exercise in, meal prep, or wellness practices into their daily routine?
Oh, I think one of the biggest mistakes that I see is people just taking like a cookie cutter approach. So a bit like you said, you know, I've seen this on Instagram, I've seen an influencer say this is the right way to do it.
Yeah.
and it doesn't work for them. And we are all so individual and so different. We've all got different preferences, different tastes, different body shapes, different body types, lifestyles. Mm. So I think that's the biggest mistake that I see, is somebody will go, oh, well, I read this book, or like, you know, I listened to this great podcast, and then try to implement it exactly down to a T. And then it's just not working for them. So I think that is like a big mistake that, you know, let's be honest, we've all made.
Yeah, I think everyone's guilty of it, you know, even from a young age, right? So when someone says, I don't have time to work out, how do you respond? And are there practical strategies for creating time without overloading, or maybe getting someone overstimulated or overwhelmed?
Oh, okay. I might be a little bit controversial on this one.
Common theme.
When someone says to me that they haven't got time, I'm like, really? Because we've all got 24 hours in the day. It's what it really boils down is, it's not a priority.
Mm.
It's not a priority. If you're saying it, you haven't got time, you do. It's just not a priority. And do you know what? That's okay. If we can like accept that and go, do you know what? It's not a priority for me at the moment because this is, or it's not a priority for me in my life because this is taken over. But that gives us so much more control. And then if you don't like that, if that doesn't sit well with you, you go, oh, priority or this, that and the other, we'll do something about it. And again, it goes to that, a little bit of something is better than nothing. But again, my tip there would be to diarize it. Like we said, you know, you've got to make it, if it's important, you've got to make an appointment.
Yes.
Like you would with the dentist or that important work meeting with your boss or whatever. So you've got to do the same for yourself. You know, actually, when are you going to go to the gym? Actually, when are you going to do whatever it is that you need, go for a walk in nature? Like, actually pop it in the diary. There's that kind of famous saying, isn't it, of like, show me your calendar and I'll show you your values. And yeah, it's kind of like, where are your values at, and what are you prioritizing? It's not actually necessarily, I don't have time.
Yeah.
It's just other things are creeping in.
Okay. And right, final question. For someone starting fresh who wants to improve both their time management and their health, what's one small change that they can make today that would have a big impact?
Oh, okay. I am a bit of like a queen of planning, but I always think good time management, good health habits, good practices boils down to planning. Like, just get your calendar out. Mm. You know, once a week I do this on a Sunday, no matter where I am, I travel a lot, I'm all over the world, but I always do this religiously on a Sunday, and I just plan out my week. So how am I fitting it in? What am I fitting in? What's a priority? What's not? When am I going to go to the gym? When am I doing this? Because it just gives me that control. And also, you know, life sometimes does get busy. You can't do everything. And then it gives me that permission to go, oh, do you know what? I'll take that out, or I'll move that about, or I can jiggle this about, or, you know, maybe I can't fit an hour in, but I can only do 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But you can only do that if you've got oversight. And you can only do that if you've planned ahead. So that would be my absolute game-changing top tip for people.
Amazing. Well, Alice, thank you so much for your time. You've been fantastic. Where can people find you online? Do you have a website, social media?
Yeah. I mostly hang out on Instagram, guys. It's just my name, Alice_Dartnell. So come say hi. You know, if you've taken some good tips from this or you've got any questions, more than happy to help. But yeah, people can mainly find me on Instagram. I do kind of lurk about on LinkedIn as well, but yeah, mainly on the gram. So yeah, come say hi.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for your time. Have a great rest of your day, and I'll speak to you soon.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Thanks so much. Take care. Bye-bye. Right, guys, so we're going to go into some listener questions. Tom asks, I'm training consistently at the gym, but I think I'm overlooking recovery. I'm consistently sore and low on energy. What is the best recovery strategies I should be focusing on, and how do you know if I'm overtraining? Well, first of all, you need to look at how much you're training. Rest is where the muscles grow. Obviously, if you get enough work in and you get enough volume in, long and short of it is maybe look at having a deload week, a week where you, instead of doing 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 sets per exercise, depending on how you're training, maybe just do 1 or 2 where you can get 10 reps in reserve, RIR, which basically means if you did 10, you know, you could do another 10 and you could get 20, but 20 would be your maximum. So that should hopefully help. Lots of food, lots of protein, lots of carbohydrates around your sessions, and hopefully that helps. Tom, if you need any more help with this, you can also reach out to me on gb.fitness.health on Instagram. Emily asks, I've been seeing a lot of conflicting advice online about whether to train when you're feeling tired or run down. What's your take? Should I push through or listen to my body and rest? So, Emily, I normally say if you are feeling unwell above the neck, it's normally a cold, it's normally, you know, a little bit of flu or whatever, so you should rest. But if it's below the body and it's, you know, you're like anything below the neck, you're fine. Okay, so when you're when it's above the neck, it sounds crazy, but when it's above the neck and you're feeling poorly, run down, rest, head colds, things like that, you can rest. But anything below the neck, you know, you're fine. And guys, that is going to be it from us today. I just want to thank our guests for their time. A massive thank you to TJ, Alice and Sophie for their wonderful time on the show. Just a reminder, guys, you can download the app and listen each week, and you can follow us on social media. We are at What The Health on Instagram. If you would like some help with your fitness and health goals, I also provide a top-tier coaching service, which is no BS problem solving, and I'll also hold your hand every step of the way. If you're interested in this, please reach out to me at gb.fitness.health. This show is also available to be listened back to on all podcasting platforms. We are actually back next week on Wednesday, 11, for another jam-packed show. My name is Georges. Thank you for listening. I hope you have a great rest of your day. Love you. Bye.
FUBAR Radio.